Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at petsofinancial.net. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to talk about this a good bit in the second hour, but I want to touch on it here as well, and that is what's going on in China. And I think, you know, obviously China is this big, giant mystery. It's not like I know what's going on and nobody else does. People have different opinions. But it's changing now to hear this tone of, if you will, kind of like apologists of China. Like, they're actually okay, you know. You hear that from, if you will, Google is a classic example of a company that won't help the Department of Defense because it doesn't match their kindness doctrine or whatever it is they called to help the military. But they would help China censor their own people. People that imprison millions of Uyghurs and put them in concentration camps, rewiring them, if you will. We used to call it brainwashing, but, you know, there's nicer words for it. And, of course, you don't want to be barred on Twitter for saying stuff like that. So you have to twist it into something else. But that's changing. It's changing fast. But this week we saw China, thought China was the problem. It was the excuse for the week of why we went down a lot on Monday, and then it's gasp, oh no, what's going on? And again, we're getting cranked up at CNBC and others to talk about the coming crash. And of course, the best way to tell that, tell when the market's going to at least have a bounce, is by watching one of their stars, Jim Cramer, become completely bearish. Like, nothing will ever go right again. Kind of bearish. And he does that. He's an emotional train wreck. I can't think of a time he's been right about the market at all. I mean, literally, ever. And I know he's a famous hedge fund manager, blah, blah, blah. But if you really know the story behind that, you also know that, in his own words, he freaked out. It was his wife that saved the day. But that's what goes on for the daily commentary. That it's really just about this financing piece in China. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. This wasn't news. Those bonds were not news. But creating a feeling of potential contagion. So big word, contagion, big word. What does that actually like mean? And then why don't we throw out something really scary? Like, let's talk about this being the Lehman moment. Okay, Lehman, the big bank, big financing bank, went under in 2008, and that was it. That was like that was the pin that popped the bubble. Real estate collapsed, all that, and it was really something. So this is the Lehman moment, and we heard about this for all that time. And this is what you really have to think about when you're reading on the dark web. Most of it is dark, right? But people literally go out there and pull in stories. I know they're fed to you. You see them running on the ads on the side. They know I'm a, 60-year-old financial guy that plays golf just like you. They know I'm heterosexual, blah, 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 blah. So I get fed all of that, right? They know who I am. They know who you are. And as soon as you click on any of those things, they'll feed you infinite amounts. But this is what people do all the time. They grab one little thing. But I think it's important to go back historically and talk about the contagion that was going to be Portugal, Greece, Italy, and Spain. And this went on for literally 4 years. 4 years. That was the next. And how many times do we say the next shoe to drop is corporate bonds or corporate debt or corporate real estate? It just on, commercial real estate, on and on and on. It was like the next shooter. And that was the great, smart contagion. If this one little thing happens, then it's going to multiply out, like Lehman did, multiply out and affect the whole economy. And that's what we heard Monday. But this is just another story that will go away. Not because some federal bank or central bank somewhere is going to print trillions of dollars and just magically make it go away. It's because it's not really that important. Any more than the Crete bank, which was another thing we had to go and talk about. Crete, it's a rock. It's a tiny rock. But somehow they had, you know, have lots of mafia money in Russia or something, and somehow that was going to be the downfall of the entire financial system as well because of, quote, contagion. So we talk about this like a Chinese developer, Evergrande, goes under, and that's going to be the whole thing. It goes on and on and on, and this is why it's so hard. Because we just go year after year, and we go, oh, well, and what do? We worry about the next one. Now we need to worry about Evergrande. We forget that we had to worry about Greece over and over. It was going to take down all of Europe, all of the world. It was all going to go away. We had to be worried about all of that. And then we knew that Russia and China, that was a big thing. They were going to come up with a currency because everybody thinks China and Russia are so trustworthy and have amazing financial systems that with great transparency, that would become the world currency. I mean, we can laugh about it. You can look back on it. Just the same as the euro was going to overtake the dollar. It's always this fear thing. We just build one thing right on top of the other. And we never stop to take a look and go, you know, the same people that just are always talking about the end of the world, I mean, always, year after year after year after year, are predicting the downfall about some kind of thing happening over here that's going to cause a contagion. I keep listening to them. I keep reading it. And, you know, markets have corrections. They do. And maybe we just, like, for one day, because we went down, like, 2% in a day, that's frightening. That's just terrorizing. I know. It's horrifying. Although it took us, like, almost the rest of the week to get that back and then actually go up for the week. Gosh, what a setback. What a trauma we had to go through. We act like Apple stopped selling iPhones that day. Or if a Chinese developer went down, they would stop selling iPhones. So we'll talk a bit about China and think about China together because but things are changing in regards to everybody's apologizing for them, wanting to get in bed with them just because it's good money. But they can't be trusted. Why would you get in bed with them? Why? If they're just really bad people. They want to steal your technology. They want to steal your company. Why do they do that? So things are changing. You're changing a lot. We'll talk about that in the second hour because I think it's time for us to really dig in a little bit on China. I know we're thinking about it a lot and have been thinking about having any exposure to China at all is not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. It's hard. You want to be involved in emerging markets and things like that, and you should. But how do you actually exclude the largest emerging market in the world from the portfolio, which I think is important? I mean, if you can't trust the company that might not even exist because the Chinese government's mad at it. There's no rule of law. But I worry about us too. And I'll talk about that. We got to take a quick break here. And our number, by the way, is 580-KIDO. We'll talk a little bit more about that too, because some of the stuff coming out now about what they're going to do tax-wise to just, like, well, remember, the billionaires need to be punished because they make such great stuff. We bought a lot of it, and they got rich. They didn't steal your money. They make products that you want, so you buy them willingly. They get rich because they came up with something super cool that you want, and they need to be punished. Is that a healthy society, or, I mean, a healthy perspective about other people? Is that maybe called envy or jealousy or stupidity? We can't operate like that, but we are. So we'll talk about that too. What's it, with these tax proposals coming out now are something else and something to keep our eyes on. Our number, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, 580-5436 is our number. And of course, we love your emails. Dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, it is amazing how we tag things on. You know, we decide that this is the reason that the market is moving around. And I you know, I'll come back to the China situation in more depth in the second hour. But I think it's important that how we capture the news and think about it, because for really the last, well, since 08, honestly, we've just had one thing after the other that everybody is looking for: the next contagion, the next problem, the next why the market's going to tank. And, and they write endless volumes of blogs and doomsday things. They push people to equity index annuities. They push people to gold. And they push people to the other websites to go deeper into why the world is ending. And instead of us stopping and realizing, if you will, that not everything is bad. And there's a lot of bad going on. I talked about this earlier this year. My heart is heavy a lot lately. It really is. And it's like it's coming back, like it was, like I felt after the elections, right? And it is. I look at what they're trying to do in Washington, D.C. to undermine our great society, the savior of the world. As I contrast a Joe Biden to a Ronald Reagan, and I know Ronald Reagan was different. But Joe fervently believes somehow that government has better answers than individuals living their own lives. That if they took more money from the most productive people in our society, and somehow that would make a fairer society, is to basically steal from one person to give to another that votes for you. That's somehow a good thing. That they are really proud of what they're doing. That it's not a moral issue for them. Far from it. It's the opposite. They feel high and mighty about it. They're protecting people. And yet, every study we do, everything that shows that the black families are doing worse since the 1960s, when the Great Society changed. They're doing worse. So we need to put more money to do what? Do worse. The schools, the inner city schools, they need more money because they're doing so bad. Everybody else is doing fine with less resources. Charter schools, private schools. They're doing better with less. But we want to do more of that. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it hurts to see that we're trying to do this even more. I wish we lived in a place, right, that had even that we had congressmen we could influence. But they feel like we do. That's why we live here, right? All right. I'm gonna come back to that in the second hour, but let's go to Bob in Boise. Bob, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Question on growth and value. Unless I'm getting into the weeds too much with it, Are we through with the rotation into value? Are we at growth? It seems it's kind of confusing. If I look at my mutual funds over the past 3 months, mm-hmm. it seems like growth is doing better than value. Mm-hmm. And then you hear or read that, it's time to get to some value. It's almost like you should just stay with a blend in your mutual funds and not be concerned about leaning one way or the other.
I think you're right. Yeah.
How does a regular investor look at where we're at, or don't worry about that, just go for your blended funds because you're gonna get a little both?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you ought to do. I love some of the funds now that really have kind of redefined. They tend to be on the value side, but I don't let Morningstar's quick cut of PE ratios, things like that, determine that Amazon is not a good value, right? Those managers that do go both sides, to me, make an awful lot of sense. Bob, I'm going to dig up. I'm pretty sure I've got it. I can find it, okay, during this break. And I will see what I can find, some data for you over the last 15 years. Growth has been so dominant for so long. That's a story. The comeback of value was a short-lived story this year again. You're quite right. And I wouldn't worry about it in short. But I am going to give you a better answer than that. So thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Obviously, the music has taken us out of here. Give us a call. Shoot us an email. Dave@petsofinancial.net. Hour number two coming up after the Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, broker dealers, or anything else. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. That's so far from what you ought to be doing. It leads people further from the truth. Way, way far away. This is not a game. This is easy as pie. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years, $5 a day, has grown to 1.1 million. Not in Google, not in Microsoft, in all companies, including WorldCom and Enron that just wiped out all the capital. Lehman Brothers, poof, gone. All together, creative destruction. And doing nothing. You didn't have to create anything, do anything. Put a little bit of money away. Cup of coffee a day. It's a stunning story. And one that I hope we hang on to. Now, I promised I'd come back to the growth and the value story for Bob, and I will a bit later. But I think it's important that we talk a little bit about China. And we talk about it in a sense of how big and important it is in the world and how things have changed over the past few years. People like Kevin Miller have been on this for a long, long time, worried about China, concerned about it. But not very many, because there's so much money in China, so much money, so much money to be made. And honestly, I was a believer 25 years ago that this was changing as they started to free their society and embrace the capitalism that Hong Kong had in order to launch, if you will, their country into the financial markets of the world. And literally a quarter of a billion people, 250 million people at the time, more than were in the whole United States, were taken from poverty, and I'm talking about starvation proper poverty. No health care poverty. I mean none. Make Cuba look like they live great lives. People literally starving to death. It was terrible, terrible. And they lifted them out by freeing the farmers to actually make a dollar, make some money. If they were more productive, they got to keep some extra crops. Things like that began to change. It's changing back. And we look at China in great fear, and we should be afraid. They have nuclear capabilities. They have a billion people. They are terrible, terrible actors in the world. Billionaires, influential people in the country just disappear. Routinely now. routinely. It's like, boom, gone. How about the face of how far they had come, right? Jack Ma, the face of technology and everything in China, and how big it was and how powerful they were becoming. He's gone. He disappears literally for a long time. And now suddenly the Ant Group, which is headed by Jack Ma, has all these things. We're all planning to do the world's largest IPO, as a matter of fact. No, we're not going to do that. Jack doesn't even talk anymore. He's around. I think they did a flyby and did a picture of him one time. That's it. He doesn't talk anymore. China didn't like it. I don't know why, but they don't want to have business anymore. And we look at that and we go, wow, but they have grown so much. And how did that happen? I'll tell you what happened. For thousands of years, China did nothing. Nothing. Except people starved to death. They did nothing. It was one emperor or whatever, dictator after the other, whatever they want to call them. It changed with time. But nothing good was happening. So we look at it. So can you manage? Right? So, because this is what we're trying to do. Here, we're trying to turn into China. We want government to manage things for us because people are not capable, apparently. Government only is. Really smart, Harvard-educated people that have never done anything in their life. They need to run my life. That's what we seem to be asking for. And that's what China provides. And if you do too much there, say too much, become too much, they stop you. But they didn't until recently. And so a lot of people thrived there, and China thrived. They had GDP growth of 9% a year for 25 years. Unprecedented in all of history. Unbelievable that that could happen. But the way that they did it was they had done nothing. They came from nothing. And then they borrowed everybody's technology. So they did two things. Borrowed or, you know, I know. They stole a lot of it. What, copyright? Patents? Steal it. They try to steal everything all the time. But bottom line is willingly, companies went there with their technology and they borrowed it. So you have basically a country that has grown from nothing, a labor force that easily can be moved to the cities, build factories, build stuff for the rest of the world with borrowed technology. They didn't innovate it. They borrowed it. That's what they did. Now what they're going to do is they're going to take it all back, or they're thinking are. This is the problem right now, right? So we've been driving down this road of embracing, you know, let's just ignore all the human rights violations and the fact that they are really bad actors and the fact that they steal things, hack into stuff, try to disrupt things in other countries. They're bad actors. They're not trying to help the world, not even trying to help Chinese. They want power. Power. And now they're zooming along at 9% GDP growth. And they want to change directions. They want to go back, if you will, to the Dark Ages. That's what China was for thousands of years. Thousands of years. And now they're changing. But you've got this rocket ship running fast, changing directions. I don't think it ends well. This is just one thing, this Evergrande. But it's not new. It's not new at all. And we really need to recognize that. This isn't a big surprise. All of a sudden, we have contagion talk in the world. We have contagion talk about Europe, part 1, 2, 3, and 4, right after 2008. Lehman Brothers was a real contagion. So now we're going to have one every year because you know what it does? It sells subscriptions. It sells people's eyeballs viewing websites of doom and gloom. Perfect. Why not throw Evergrande on there? That's what they just said on CNBC, that's the reason. Is it? Is it really? This was brand new somehow that the bonds, that this company might default. Really? Then why were the bonds selling at 24 cents on the dollar? 24 cents. That's already planning default. That's knowing the company. That's pretty much the company calling up and saying, we are not going to pay on these bonds. You're going to have to sue us in bankruptcy court and get whatever pennies you can. It's known they're going to default. So it's not like we woke up Monday and went, wow, did you realize that Evergrande is in trouble? The biggest property developer or the most indebted one in China? Holy cow. No, we didn't. It was well known. Oh, but the Chinese won't let that happen. They probably won't let it happen. Why won't they let it happen, you say? Well, if you have an Evergrande bond, I'm pretty sure they're going to let it happen to you. But I'm pretty sure that the 77,000 people in China that have houses promised to them and have made deposits to them aren't going to be very happy about that. And the 70,000 different vendors are going to want to get paid for the cement, tile, and the work they've done. If there's any contagion here, it's political, because the only thing that the Chinese government fears are the Chinese people not being happy. That's the only contagion. It's not that this isn't something to have a sell-off about. It is. The realization that China is a bad actor should not be dealt with on any kind of an equal level. Trusted in anything at all is a fact that finally the world is coming to. The world sees this. The world sees this. Get in bed with China, and you just don't know when, but you will not wake up one morning. You don't know when your business is going to get taken away from you. You just know it will. But in the meantime, it's all good. It's all good, and they smile at you, and they hand you billions of dollars. But in the end, you're going to die. And I think people are coming to that realization. It's a big deal. And it's a big deal for us to be thinking about our portfolios. Do we have money in China? If we do, why? And to hearing money managers out there that are basically apologists for China's behavior. Well, they steal some technology. Yeah, they've got some technology. And they put it in nice terms, like, yeah, but you ought to see how great, you know, Tencent is, or TikTok, or whatever it is. But it's not great. It's frightening. This is frightening what they're doing, but it's frightening to China. And China doesn't have to be a contagion to the world at all. You just have to stop and say, okay, did we have a hiccup on Monday because perhaps we're running headlong into turning into China, that maybe that's dawning on Wall Street, that raising corporate taxes to a ludicrously high level again, even though it was really working that we'd become more competitive in the world, that taking our government over the last 100 years from 2.5% GDP to 28% GDP isn't really working as well as we thought it would. That all those big, big, big programs that get bigger, 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 bigger aren't actually producing better results. They're getting worse. But we want to do more. That might bother the market? That we haven't had a correction forever? Like, we haven't even gone down 10%, like, forever. Not since the pandemic started. That we're kind of overdue for one? Because that's what part of having the market is? Or the fact that our border's in complete chaos. We have no idea who's coming into the country. They just release them into the inner cities. Go ahead. It's no big deal. It's humanitarian. Absolutely it is. Sure, it's no problem. We just bring them all in. What could go wrong? Those services you can't get when you go to the hospital because all the illegals get that. That's okay. The tax increases on a personal level to the business guy, the small business guy down the road. That's great for the economy. Always has worked really well. The run towards socialism, any of those reasons? Maybe, I don't know. Are we worried about inflation? Sure, but no, it's all about Evergrande in China. We're not worried about any of that other stuff. No. No. And that's what Wall Street traders talk about. Look, China needs to be watched. It's a big player in the world, big economy. But when we try to talk about contagion with that, it's contagion only if you sell a whole lot of trucks or something in China. We don't. We don't. The United States does not sell a lot of stuff in China. I think something like 3%, 3 of the S&P's sales is to China. This is not contagion. It might be to one company that has 50%. I don't know. I don't know who that one company would be. But it isn't contagion. We got interest rates rising. We've got the Federal Reserve. And I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. I'm just saying, watch what Wall Street is saying. It's not usually right. It's not usually right. It's just a bunch of bubbling talking heads like to be able to say stuff on TV. Makes them famous. Makes them money. Doesn't make them right. They're almost never right. Yeah, I'm not here to make fun of Jim Cramer because, you know, he's done great in his talking career. But he's never right. I mean, he's like literally never right about the market. Ever. But he makes millions of dollars commenting on the market. So why? Because he sounds smart doing it, I guess. Not because he's right. So watch where we're getting that. And when I take this all and put it back together and say, look, we got to watch out for China, but good news is the world's catching on. Okay? And when we hear babble about inflation or the Fed's meeting this week, interest rates are rising, contagion here, problems there, blah, 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 blah. Quit trying to time the market. A cup of coffee a day for the last 40 years is $1.1 million. Doing nothing and going through a whole lot of contagions, 50% market corrections, and everything else to panic about. 40 years. We've seen a lot. And when we look out now at this world and you see interest rates at zero, put your money in the bank and you can only lose 4% a year, assuming inflation's only 4%. It seems a little higher to me, but let's call it 4, call it 3, call it whatever you want. But that's how much money you're throwing away every single year, but you're safely doing it. Doesn't seem like an investment plan to me. Or we can buy bonds. We can tie it up in U.S. government treasuries at 1.4%. You know what I said last week? 1.3. Problem with that is interest rates actually rose a lot last week, so your 1.3 bond that you held just went down a lot in value. And it still doesn't even make the inflation rate. What do we do? Buy gold that never has a dividend? No. People put their money in stocks because it can grow and become more productive all the time. All the time. That's why. It's not all this stuff or the Fed just said the right thing. Or inflation suddenly went away last week. It didn't. Interest rates rose. Well, that's terrible for stocks, isn't it? But the market was up last week. Oh my gosh, somebody shoot me. My head's going to pop. And then they tell us it's all about Evergrande. It's not. But keep your eye on China and think about it. We got to think about emerging markets. We're thinking about it every day, have been for quite a while now. Fastest growing markets in the world, you want to be in front of with some money. I get it. But I don't want a dime in China anymore. Just seems like a lawless place to me. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I've got a couple gyms coming up, Mountain Home and Boise, but I got to take a quick break. So hang in there. We'll be right with you, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. Let's go to Jim. Jim, are you there? Hold it. Let's try that again.
Morning, Dave. Good. Another Saturday. You're on fire, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
And I'll tell you straight up, I agree with you on your assessment of China. I think you've checked every box on that. I've been in and out of China a number of times over the last decade or so, and to me, they're a paper tiger. And I wouldn't invest anything in China just basically because of, you know, everything is monitored, and you read in the media, like this actress that just disappeared from the face of the earth, social media.
Yep.
President Xi is to be, I guess, recognized as a god eventually.
Mm-hmm.
in China. But when I look at China and look at the rough neighborhood that they're living in, and how, whether it's Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Vietnam is less than happy with them. They've all got the ability, if they gang up on China, to cut their crude oil shipments off, and mm-hmm. and then you've got civil unrest in China. And looking forward, the potential in northern Mexico with 3D printing and CNC machines, and the ability of the Mexican workforce to be very productive, just really makes me pessimistic about the future of China.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I'm pessimistic anyway, because communism has never worked, not one time. Why would I think it'd work this time? And the only reason that they've grown is because they allowed capitalist behavior in their country to grow it, not because they forced it with mandates from communist Chinese. They allowed entrepreneurs to develop and grow, and allowed capital to come in, and it did. And now they're trying to take it back. This looks to me like, you pointed it out. You're pessimistic about their outlook. I am too, but I think it's because of what they were becoming. They're coming back to a dictatorship dominated by communism.
Yes, sir. President Xi, and he's promised that there's meat, milk, and eggs in every refrigerator, and I don't think they can deliver across the entire country. And they're just, I don't know when they're going to run out of social work projects where you've got ghost highways, ghost cities.
Mm-hmm.
You travel through China, and you go by literally thousands of vacant apartment buildings that were public work projects. And at some point, they've got to run out of work for the populace and civil unrest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And people do, you saw it in their society, right? Clamoring for freedom. They saw it. They smelled it. I think it's a human trait. And they wanted it. And now they can't have it. It's being taken away. People are put in jail routinely. They just disappear. Influential people poof, gone.
And amazing, in the last few years, you go into China, and now everything is, you go in, you get fingerprinted, palm printed, everything is face recognition. Mm-hmm. The police have face recognition optics on, and in my opinion, it's deteriorating fast.
Yeah, me too. Bob, I thank you. And once again, thank you so much for, Bob, I'm sorry, I wrote down the Bob here. Sorry, Jim. For waiting on hold so long so I could finish my thoughts.
You bet. Make it a great day, Dave.
You do the same. Enjoy. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye now. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have to take a quick break here for Fox News. Jim, you are up to bat next. If you hang in there, we'll be right back. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Pezzo. You're listening to Money Matters. And if you want to have a comment, or you want to catch a podcast, I'll tell you what. Bo does such a great job. It literally, within an hour, he gets this thing loaded to us, and we pick it up Monday morning and get it off and going. So I think maybe it even gets loaded over the weekend. So if you miss something, feel free to do that. We know that there's a lot of people that listen during the week as well. So, and if you have any questions, comments, petzofinancial.com is where you go. Let's go to Jim. Jim.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I can't do a darn thing about China, but I can about Cramer.
Yeah? You can turn him off?
Well, I must say, I must have turned him on at one point because I know what the bumpus ass is.
Yeah.
But the only Kramer you want to watch is the Michael Richards character on Seinfeld.
Yes, that's a good, that's a funny character for sure.
But I'll tell you what, you know, this guy, you know, he's worse than a used car salesman. And, you know, the old stereotype of them, and I wouldn't want to disparage them, but why anybody would pay any attention to him. These days, everything seems to be like a reality show, you know. There's no script. It's cheap to produce. People are too stupid to know that they're watching something stupid. But anyway, the last thing I'm going to watch is Kramer.
I don't blame you. Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Yeah.
So you were mentioning that. You know another thing? I'll bring up a pet peeve of mine.
Uh-oh.
You like a lot of people, they talk about people in the world like China being a bad actor. Well, you know, whenever you use that word, it disparages the whole acting profession.
Yeah.
I mean, really. You know, one time you used player. Now, player is better, but, you know, to call everybody an actor, you know, there are some good actors.
Well, there are. Most of them are bad players in the world, too, though. Bad actors in the world. You know.
Well, true. Back in the days of vaudeville, somebody, you know, whether it's a comedian or whatever, on stage, they had to be good or they'd be booed off, you know? These days, any blithering idiot can get a show on TV.
That's absolutely true. That's true.
Anyway, that's all I had to say. Yeah. I have got nothing tremendously to say except we are tied to China, and that's that, you know? So
we are, but there's no question that we are, but it's not as tied as people think. It really, we are not that tied economically. We import some stuff from them. We don't have to. But Jim pointed out as well that we are, especially with 3D printing, we can have our own factories here. We can do it in northern Mexico as well. And we all know that the Hispanic culture is a hardworking culture. They love this country, and so I think it's a truly marvelous future partnership. Again, it just shows what corruption does to a country. They have the richest neighbor in the world, and they can't get away from the corruption, the cartels, the drugs. It's so sad because they've got the greatest coastline in the world, a hardworking, wonderful culture. And a rich neighbor that loves them. And you know
it's kind of interesting you bring up hardworking, and it's kind of a paradox in a way, you know. For instance, in Mexico, they believe in the siesta, right?
Yeah.
And it's like work is not everything. There are other things, culturally, family, blah, blah, blah. They are hard workers, and yet they don't put work ahead of everything else either.
They don't, but when they work, they work.
Oh, yeah.
And they being a maid, doing your yard work, janitorial, all those things. They consider all work to be good.
Well, I mean, that's you know, I mean, we're too freaking lazy.
Yeah.
If it was the biggest pain in the ass that I see, us Anglos, right? Us Anglos are the ones that decided we needed lawns, right? Okay, now we buy a bunch of crap to put on a dirt. We waste a lot of water to grow grass. Then we got to waste gas to cut the grass, including the air. And that's an Anglo thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it's not Hispanic. It's not Native American, you know? We came into this country with one purpose and one purpose only, to divide everything and create lawns.
All right. I'm cutting you off on that one.
Okay. Right. Take care.
All right, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, I forgot to mention this. We have a very long segment here running to really till the end of the program today. So this is a great long segment. So we've got plenty of time to take your calls. So do ring us up. If you got a question, a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 580-KIDO. Oh, all right. Now, I'm going to go back to Bob. This is the first call today in the first hour. So, Bob, I'm back to your question on growth and value, and I did find a fantastic chart. I knew I had it because they update it every few weeks, and I remembered seeing it. And it runs the comparison ongoing of year-to-date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and 15 year growth in the S&P versus value. Now, this gets into the point I was trying to make when, but it was too. Yeah, we didn't have enough time at the end of the end of the first hour. So, again, I don't think that this is a great definition of growth and value, but the S&P carves it in half. Okay, there's not really 500 companies in the S&P 500, but there's, I think, 460, something like that. So anyway, 230 on one side, 230 on the other, and they split them. One's considered growth, one's value, based on price to sales, price to earnings ratios, things like that, to try to define that, okay? But by defining it that way, you also wind up with some skew. The best companies, the highest growth companies, right? The ones that are just killing it, ought to be selling for higher multiples. They ought to be. They're better than the others. For example, on the value side, you're going to have automobile makers, except for Tesla. So who is killing it in that group? Tesla. It's going to be on the growth side. Who has destroyed more capital than is even thinkable, thought to be humanly possible, over the last four decades? Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, name it. Okay? Destroys capital. That's on the value side. So it does skew these numbers. I think you have to recognize that there are really good growth companies, and that's what a value manager will tell you, is there a good growth company on the value side. They're underappreciated. Okay? That's what everybody's looking for. So I actually divide it in half and say, well, Amazon can't be there because they don't have a low P.E. ratio. Okay, well, they shouldn't have a low P.E. ratio. What they always tell people is, we're not here to earn money. We're going to reinvest all of it right back into the company and keep growing this amazing machine. And they do. And now they've got billions of dollars sitting on the balance sheet to buy anything they want, to do anything they want. And you wouldn't call that a value company. Or Apple. It sells for too much. Yeah, well, it should, because they're killing it. Okay? So that's part of this, but I want you to see the differential and why I think if you're thinking to be pure growth, you should stick to the growth side. I'm not saying you should. I love value managers that will say, I think that Google is an amazing value. And they'll own it. And they don't have any problem owning it and say Capital One, which is a classic value stock, pays a dividend, so on, JP Morgan, blah, blah, blah. Boring, but they're growing. They'll own both. So I like eclectic managers much more than saying I want a value piece or I want a blend or I want a growth. But let me give you the numbers. You were quite right. Over a one-year basis, value has outperformed growth. Year to date, it's a virtual tie now. Year-to-date is a virtual tie. You were right. Has it shifted back? Absolutely it has. Growth is killing value the last couple months, right? Probably longer. You know how time goes, maybe 3 months. But value was running hot for a while as people did what? Came back to the on-their-face companies, whether it was Boeing making a run from the low 100s to 240 again, right? That would be on the value side because they were falling apart, right? But that was a dead cat bounce, right? These companies are not doing that great right now. Oil companies made a huge run in the past 12 months. Those would be on the value side there. So as we look, though, and go out for 3 years, not even close. Not even close. Growth stocks have averaged 20% a year. Value is less than 10. It's like 6. 15-year is almost 14% on the growth side. It's less than 9 per year on the value side. Not even close. So over long periods, the 15-year, 10-year, 5-year, 3-year, growth kills value. And I think when we just define it that way, we miss that point. That over the long term, the best companies The ones that are growing the fastest are the ones that should be selling for more, growing faster, and that's how we have to recognize value, I believe, going forward. Companies aren't that cyclical anymore. Boom, bust. The economy's booming. So automobile manufacturers do well for a little while, then it busts, and then they go bad. We don't have that kind of economy anymore. There are still some in the, quote, dirty industries of steel and things like that. But that the economies are much smoother now anyway. And much more, if you will, they don't just have these factories that just can't tone it down. They can only run full throttle or shut down. So they can dial it back. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. I would not focus on growth versus value. I would just go ahead and find the best managers and let them do their thing. I was talking about this. I'm thinking specifically about a couple managers that we use that are exactly like that. They own Google, and they'll own Chevron or J.P. Morgan, all in the same portfolio, top 10 holdings. They see companies as great values based on the price, and if you will, the enterprise value of where they're going, not just they meet our criteria of a low P/E ratio. Because they're really crappy companies. That's the point. All right, so thank you again for your question. Let's go to the phones, and our number is 580-KIDO. Terry, are you there? Terry?
Talking about best managers, isn't that what I got?
That's there you go. There you go.
Anyway, what about three different points here. Earlier in the program, when you were talking with Kevin about the guys that painted your building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thing that popped into my head was the Micro Works Foundation, where Micro has collected lots of money, but also a lot of companies that are looking for workers, and they will pay their room and board and training to do an apprenticeship. For, like you said, plumbers, air conditioning, maintenance, and whatnot. And any kid out there that wants to prove himself as far as having the gumption, the chutzpah, to go ahead and bust his rear end, they will help you get started.
That's awesome. That's great.
So, yeah, if you talk to anybody, the Micro Works Foundation.
Good, good. That's great. That's a great tip. Thank you.
Now, going back to the China Evergrande thing, didn't they also steal our technology by learning about mortgage derivatives kind of thing, and how we can fake?
I'm pretty sure J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and others went over there and gave it to them.
Well, then we might have thrown a wrench into the works here.
I forgot about it. It's the financial genius Hunter Biden. Hunter has been helping the Chinese. It's not Goldman Sachs, because you can tell because that was the $1 billion that they gave Hunter, not Goldman Sachs, to manage their assets.
Well, and 10 million to the big guy, or 10% to the big guy. So
yeah, exactly.
And a point for Jim, I've been saying for years, why grow grass in the desert?
Because it's pretty.
Oh, okay. I have some desert grasses that are pretty also.
Well, but they're brown and it's all full of, why am I thinking of that? Cheatgrass, that's what I'm thinking of. That miserable cheatgrass. Ugh.
Well, that was stuff that the BLM promoted by ripping out all the sagebrush that was native. So.
I know. Same with the forests and all that. We can go on and on. That's true.
Yeah. But I did want to know if Eric had passed on that book I dropped off to you.
I saw that on Bitcoin. I glanced through it. Thank you for leaving that. That was cute. That's very cute.
I didn't know if you'd be offended or not. I just thought it was a good jab and a fun thing to do.
I don't. I've done this for a long time. Radio for like 30 some years, and TV for that long. So, I can't be too offended. I'm an emotional mess at times, but that's usually on my,
it's self-inflicted wound. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't offend me, Jim. Or Terry, sorry.
Well, you can offend me calling me Jim. No,
that's right. I hear that.
We're not going to get our knickers in a bunch about much anything. You guys are doing good work, and we're just going to coast along until the world comes to an end, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and your and my end is coming any day now. We just don't know quite when, but not that long in the future.
Well, you don't know the time.
Nope. Terry, thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day, man.
You got it. Have a good day yourself. Bye-bye. All right, we are winding down the clock here for sure. So we're going to be out of here a little bit early. We get commercial here at the end of the program today. I don't know what's going to happen with China. Nobody does, right? We don't know when or if. There's been people predicting their downfall for a long time. There are still many people out there that are apologists. I'm going to call them apologists for China because they think they're just amazing and they're going to be no problem at all just because a few billionaires and influential people and actresses disappear. That's really not a real problem for China, not at all. It's good. You can do business there. You can't do business there, and this is all changing. I think that we are waking up to this. I don't think at all that Evergrande is anything for us to worry about. It might be in the news, but I'll tell you what the market did. It went up last week, and that's what the news was. It went up, not down. It went down for a day. And as I pointed out, there's a million other reasons, way more than Evergrande, to be concerned. It's just another one. And as far as the market goes, why are we concerned? Every day, why are we antsy? We're going to get a 10% correction. Yeah, we do that all the time on our way to new all-time highs. There just isn't anything else out there. There's not that has built this kind of wealth. I hope everybody has a great and safe weekend. And thank you so much for joining us. And thanks so much for all your comments. Have a good day.